Sean, how far back do you go with Brian Burke?
I go back to Hartford days, 94. I was with Jersey. I had sat out a year, went back and played with the national team. I didn't think Lou Lamoriello was going to trade me, and finally Brian Burke stepped up and made a trade for me, and I went to Hartford and played for him.
That was Berkey's first GM spot. He'd worked for Pat Quinn in Vancouver before that. Did you know that he would turn into what he became and, you know, kind of that all-encompassing hockey guy?
I think so. I think Brian's personality has probably always been the same. I imagine him as a kid being the same as he is now. You know, he's a very, very outspoken, very gregarious guy. But, you know, at the end of the day, passionate, loves the game of hockey, and I enjoyed playing for him. He was very fair. I always looked at Brian as a fair guy. He's going to be hard on you, but at the end of the day, if you did the job, you were going to be rewarded. And I think that's what most guys expect out of this game.
Sean, I'm with you. I can picture Berkey when he was 15, tie undone, sleeves rolled up, just walking around, just taking care of business like he always does. Sean Burke here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sean, you hear the term player's coach a lot. Could Brian Burke be described as a player's GM?
I think so. I think that's fair. You know, again, I think it goes back to, you know, he didn't play in the NHL, but he was a player. He's been through a lot of different facets of the game. And I always felt that he looked at you more as just a player. He also looked at you as a person. I think that's really important. Sometimes it's lost in this game. You know, it is about results. It does come down to winning and losing. But people forget. And a lot of times it's a shame that the people forget are the people in the game. And I think Brian was always good for that, was, you know, recognizing that, hey, guys are going to have problems. There's things going on in their lives. You can't just always judge them on the results on the ice day to day. And I felt that was a good quality of his, and you know, it's not typical in this game, and you know, for good reason. It is about winning and losing, but I still think you get more out of your players if you have a relationship with them.
That's a great point, and it's a great point that not only people in the game forget, but way too often fans and people in the media forget. And you've been around the game long enough. How does a shocking move like this affect a room full of guys who were all brought in by Brian Burke?
Well, I think they're probably going to get over it pretty quickly. That's the other side of this game is, you know, it is shocking. It's huge news, especially in Toronto. You guys are part of what that media is all about there, and you know how everything's under a microscope. But athletes, they move on quickly. They have to. You get used to it in a hurry, realizing that that's going to be you the next day possibly, that you're in, you're out, and while you're there, you have to make the most of it. And so I think the players, I'm sure they all feel bad for Brian. Like you said, he brought in most of those guys. There's going to be a relationship with them. But they also know they're paid to do a job, and I think they'll move past this pretty quickly.
Sean Burke here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sean, the feeling up here, as you might expect, was utter and complete shock at the timing of this. Not necessarily Brian losing the position, because there wasn't a lot of winning going on here, but the timing was just, it floored people. Were you surprised?
Well, yeah, I think you were all surprised. I mean, we were sitting here having coaches' meetings in Phoenix yesterday, and we didn't have the TV volume on, but we had one of the screens on, and it came across the screen, and we all looked at each other, and of course, we went right and turned the volume up and waited around for the press conference. So, you know, those things in the hockey world, when you look back on a lot of them, they might not seem surprising if you analyze, you know, what's gone on in Toronto and the last lack of success they have had. But when you look at Brian and his personality and, you know, just how much in control he's been, those kind of things are going to shock you. So I think, yeah, we were all surprised by it.
Partly about your team and partly about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but this shortened season, the shortened training camp, I mean, everything is going to be intensified from the race to the playoffs to the trade deadline. Does it feel in your coaches' meetings, and I'm sure it'll transfer to Toronto too, like you guys have got to get things going in a hurry?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I can remember playing in the last shortened season, and you know, it's a blur. It really just comes down to your best players have to play well right off the bat. You have to get off to a good start. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, only one team that year that was out of the playoff picture after 10 games was actually in the playoffs at the end of the season. So, you know, that just speaks volumes about how the start is so important, how everything gets shortened and magnified. And, you know, I think it comes down to your goaltending. You have to have a guy that can play a lot of games and can play well for you consistently night after night. You have to stay injury-free. You know, you got to be lucky that way because there's more risk of injury with the games and the shortened season, no training camp, all that stuff. And, you know, and it comes down to being prepared because every 2 points could be the difference between making the playoffs and not.
Sean Burke here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590. The Fan, current assistant to the GM in Phoenix, goaltending coach for the Coyotes. You mentioned goaltending, Sean. I mean, sometimes we simplify it, but I mean, you look at the teams that went deep in that postseason last year. You guys with Mike Smith, Jonathan Quick, Marty Brodeur. It's not a complicated formula. If you are not strong in net, you are going to have problems winning in this league. And the Leafs had a goals against that put them near the bottom of the overall standings. So let me ask you, in terms of a guy like Roberto Luongo, and the Flyers have been thrown in the mix, and other teams have been thrown in the mix. Roberto Luongo today, what kind of a goalie is he compared to the other guy who won a gold medal and went to a Game 7? Has he changed that much? Because the feeling out of Vancouver was that this guy's fallen off a cliff. Do you buy that?
I don't think he's fallen off a cliff. I think what happens, especially for a guy like Roberto, who's come into this league, he played on a team that, well, a couple teams actually, where he wasn't expected to necessarily make the big save and win the game. He just went out and did his job every night. And a lot of times that meant losing 3-2, but he had 40 shots and could kind of fly under the radar a little bit. And I think, you know, Roberto became an excellent goaltender in this league. But all of a sudden you go to a place like Vancouver where, you know, you're now expected to not necessarily be the star every night, but not give up that bad goal. You have a good enough team that can win every night, and the goalie's job now becomes finding a way to win games. And I think for Roberto, it's been a stretch in Vancouver where that's a totally different mindset for a guy, and it's a difficult situation to play under in a Canadian market where you give up a bad goal and lose the game, and the whole city talks about it for 2 days. And, you know, I think for him, maybe a change of scenery, which it looks like it's pretty well evident that's going to happen, might just be what he needs because he's a quality player. He's got a lot of experience, and he's shown in the past that he can be a top goalie in this league.
Is he a difference maker?
Well, again, I think that depends on what kind of team you're on. You know, you talked about Marty Brodeur earlier, and I never believed that maybe necessarily Marty was the top talented goalie in the league or necessarily the best raw ability, but he's been a winner. And he found a way early in his career and throughout his whole career to play on a team where he wasn't going to maybe get the most shots. He wasn't going to have the highest save percentage in the league, but he found ways to win hockey games. And so he's a difference maker. Now, a guy like Roberto, I don't know if he's that type of goalie that could come to a team that's, that needs him to just win hockey games night after night. I think that, you know, he's been in the league, he has the experience, but I don't think he's in that quality anymore. I think he's a guy that will give you good goaltending most nights, and he'll be a guy you can rely on and a legitimate number one goaltender. But at the end of the day, can he win consistently games for you? I'm not so sure about that anymore.